Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you all this evening. Glad those that could make it made it out. And Jacques normally books me to do the speaking, and I thank him for picking times when there's other things going on. That way it's not too hard on my self-esteem when not a lot of people show up. I always have an excuse. We were studying on Wednesday night in Acts chapter 14, and this is just kind of a note to glorify God, because we were talking about the boldness with which Paul and Barnabas were preaching. And Fenno brought up a point in another scripture that Paul says that he did a lot of those things with meekness and trembling and weakness. And I think a lot of preachers can relate to that. I know I've been preaching for a while, but every time you go to do it, it's kind of a challenge, and I get the butterflies every time before when I'm sitting there. And a lot of people don't know that I was actually a very shy child. And to think that I'd be doing something like this, it's just some little things stop and make me glorify God, because God can use us in our weaknesses. So hopefully that's encouraging to you to maybe go out and do something maybe you thought that you couldn't do, but God can use you. The message that I have this evening is something that's not too deep a subject matter, but something that's been a great encouragement to me, and I've learned a lot the last 3 months since, and before that too, since a child has come into our life, and I kind of wanted to speak on that a little bit. There's different times in your life, I think, where God really kind of throws a steep learning curve at you, and one of them certainly is parenthood, and I certainly don't want to stand up here and be pretentious or anything like that and think that I'm having some unique experience. And I just hope rather that a lot of the parents here will be able to share in some of the things that I'll draw out from the scripture, and perhaps people who don't have kids yet can look forward to that. I remember talking to one of my friends some time ago when he first had a kid, and asking him how it was to be a father, and he just glowed so much and said, "You learn so much about yourself and about God." And I've found that out in my experience, so I just want to share a little bit about that. I'm going to look at some verses from the scripture on the character of God, and specifically looking at his character as it relates to fatherhood and how we can look to that for an example, and we can learn. I've learned so much about God through my experiences being a father, and not in the areas where I've done so well, but rather when you look at God, you see how far short you fall, and it just draws your heart out to love the Lord more and more, how much he loves us and does for us and gives to us. And if you want to turn in your Bibles just for our first verse to Isaiah chapter 9, it's kind of an interesting verse, again, I hope I'm not too repetitious in saying this. I'll probably say it a couple times throughout. Just looking through the scripture again after having a child, you notice things that you didn't notice before. And again, as I said, there's certain things that the Lord gives you in your life that are steep learning curves. I know for me, another one was when I was married. And I got to see in the scripture that picture that's given to us of Christ and the church as the bridegroom and the bride, and you kind of get to look at that in a new light, and you notice some new, well, old scriptures that have always been there, but they kind of jump out to you in a new aspect. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, a very well-known verse, and something just in there, one little phrase that I never really took too much pass of before, in verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," speaking prophetically of Christ, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And that phrase there, the Everlasting Father, that never really struck me too much before. But in Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, we have manifested unto us so much of the Father. He speaks to us of the Father and the Father's character. And it's interesting to see that in that description there, these descriptive words that we think of in relation to this verse, wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, but the everlasting Father, and how wonderful that is. Let's just commit our time to him in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he bore upon himself the sin of the world. He became the sacrifice. Indeed, he was the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied all your righteous demands. And Father, we are such a blessed people to know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have him as our Savior, to, as your word tells us, to become children of God. I just ask that you'd help us as we examine this a little bit this evening, that you may warm our hearts, Father, and indeed draw us closer to yourself and to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the flesh manifested so many of these things, taught us so many of these things about you through his character and his work and his actions and his words. And so we just ask that when we leave this place, we may have a desire to continue to draw closer to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing that I want to look at, and rightfully so, I suppose, when you think of a father, we think of a father's love. And we can go to some familiar verses, 1 John chapter 3, and we'll do a little bit of page turning this evening to see the different references throughout the scripture of the characteristics of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, very well-known verse. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God." And such a precious verse, "Behold, what manner of love," and we've had it explained to us before what that word "behold" means. It's to look intently at something. And an example that kind of came to my mind is if you were in the passenger seat of a car, and there was a driver, of course, and you were going through some nice scenery. In the passenger seat, you drive by, and it's kind of easy to have a better look. And you might say to the driver, you get excited, it's like, "Oh, look at that, that's amazing." And they can't really do it very well, can they? They try to catch a glimpse over their shoulder as they turn quickly, but their attention's focused on the road. So you have that driver who doesn't really get to look at it very intently, the passenger who does in a much greater way. But even more than that, if they stopped the car and got out and looked, beheld the beauty of the scenery, that would be taking in that word "behold," I think, to some degree. We can think of it like that, behold, not just a fleeting thing, not a passing thing, but stopping to examine carefully. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And indeed, such great love was given to us when God sacrificed his Son. We think of that verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16 of the Father's love, that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And again, as a parent, you begin to enter into a little more that idea of what it must be like. I always wondered before I was a father what it would mean, what it would be like to have to sacrifice your child, and I have no idea about that now, but experiencing that love, you can come to it a little bit more, and it's a hard thing to imagine, and not even for some good cause, but for the worst of mankind. And that's what God did in giving his Son. He would bear our sin in his own body on the tree. "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." And in these verses, it's so interesting to see these descriptions and to see attached to them that word "Father." Another one in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 speaks to us of the Father's love. Jeremiah Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old time, of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love." The next characteristic that I want to look at, and of course we know with any of these, there's so many more than this, but this is just a taste for time's sake. Comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. We look there and it speaks of the comfort of the Father. Second Corinthians 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And again, we see that word Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And just a small example that I have to share, and I really can't say too much because we've been blessed with a very good baby, but we've been telling people who have asked about her. When she was first born, she was a little bit sick, nothing too serious, and it was kind of cleared up pretty soon, but she was in the hospital for almost a week and had lots of lines coming out of her and IVs and stuff like that. And then afterwards, when we got her home, she was losing weight and she wasn't getting enough to eat. But we didn't know that at first. We didn't know what the problem was. And we had quite an interesting first two or three weeks there, and she cried all the time because she wasn't getting enough to eat. And so she was crying because she was hungry. But being new parents, we didn't pick up on that. We didn't know what was wrong. We thought we were doing everything right. And for 3 weeks or so, it's just she cried and cried and cried. She cried in the day, she cried in the night, and we couldn't do anything for her. And as parents and as a father, you want to comfort that child, and you try everything. You go through the checklist over and over and over again sometimes to try and figure out what's wrong. But the desire of your heart is to comfort your children. And when they're in such distress, it's bothersome to a parent. And it does get stressful and lead to some other things as well, but there's that desire deep down to comfort your child. And yet, we're finite beings. We're limited in what we know and what we can do. And for all the knowledge that we had, we tried everything we could. And to no avail, nothing helped until we did figure out what it was, and then she was great. But when I read a verse like this, it causes me, and I'll say this repeatedly throughout this, it causes me to glorify God, because you look at his characteristics and his perfection, and you could say, you could look at a man or a woman and say, that's a compassionate person, or they're very comforting, and yet we will have failures. Even that person, that maybe that is one of their key characteristics, something that really defines them as being very comforting, they will fail. They will have limits to what they can do, but God has no limits as to what he can do. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He's the one that can do that. He can bring us comfort no matter what our situation is. And when we're in a dark world with so much chaos and misunderstanding, when we come across these things, sometimes we feel like we don't know where to turn. We don't know who to go to. Sometimes it's even hard to go to those that are close to us. And there's so many tribulations in this world. And yet we can go to God. And we can approach him. And he truly understands. He knows what we're feeling. He's all-knowing. And he can comfort us in our tribulation. And not only that, but as with all things with God, he goes so much further than that. He doesn't just meet that need, but he enables us and empowers us that through that moment of weakness, through that time of tribulation, he comforts us and he equips us that we can then go forth from that and comfort others And that's what we read in that verse, isn't us? He's always doing more than we ever could. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Another verse, in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, if you want to flip there, teaches us about how God will never forget us. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. And this is, again, another well-known verse. And along with a father's love, of course, you can't forget to think of a mother's love. And I know Kara shares a lot of these things that she's experienced. And fathers and mothers out there alike experience these. And the Bible teaches about this principle. Sometimes even it's proposed that a mother's love could be greater than a father's love, because she bore the child and delivered the child. And here we have an example of that in the scripture. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? That intimate bond that's between a mother and a child because of the challenges that they go through together and the experiences that they have together. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? The scripture tells us, yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. And I love the way that these words jump off the page to me more than ever before. Yea, they may forget. It is possible in our weakness as mankind to forget. And we hear tragic stories in the news, and perhaps some of us have even experienced them ourselves in our family to some degree or whatever. And the things that take place, babies get abandoned, mothers, parents leave their child, and yet we know that God will never forget. He says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And what a wonderful God it is that we have. And just a funny story that goes along with this, it hardly suits to follow with the seriousness or the gravity of that verse, but we were visiting my brother one time, and Karen and I had been talking in the car, and we went to get out and go into my brother's place, and we were kind of chattering, and we get out and we carried on the conversation, and she was walking towards the house, and I started walking towards the house, and she said, are you going to get going to get Galilee? And I was like, oh yeah, we have a child. Not good. Don't leave her in the truck. But that's just something kind of silly. We weren't going to forget about her, but it's easy for us to do simple things like that. And God is perfect. He never forgets us for a moment. He's always there for us. And to kind of carry on with that thought, we think of how God carries us. And if you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 31, I love this verse. I love the verses in the scripture that are, many of them are almost kind of poetic. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 31, I actually go back a couple of verses, just to verse 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. And I find that just so rich, and as I said, almost poetic. How the Lord thy God did bear thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that he went. And how beautiful is that? And one of the things that came to my mind right away, and I'm sure perhaps it's in your mind now, is that the famous poem, Footprints, and how it goes that there was a great tribulation, and the person that was in the tribulation said, in those hard times, they asked God, why did you leave me? There was only one set of footprints in the sand. And the reply came, it was in those times that I carried you when you didn't have the strength to go on yourself. And we see that in this verse here, that the Lord thy God bear thee, as man doth bear his son in all the way that he went. And we think of that time through the wilderness for those people when God preserved them and really carried them through that. The next thing I want to look at is the affection of God the Father towards us. If you want to look at Romans chapter 8, this is a rich chapter in the scriptures kind of around this whole subject. We could do a study of this whole chapter and gather a lot on this theme. But we see the affection and the familial ties that God gives to us. Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And again, we have these sentiments repeated. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 1. We'll read down to verse 6. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And one of the things that I was researching when I was just looking up some verses on this topic, there was a commentator, and I just want to read a quote from this. This commentator had a little bit of a study on this. It says, Abba Father, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, and this quote, God is describing how he causes his Spirit that lives within us to enable us to cry out to him as a Father with the sense of intimate closeness, warmth, affection, and complete trust with which a very small child cries out to his parent. Abba is Aramaic for daddy. Commentator says, I could not think of a single term to categorize a sentiment, and later discovered while researching the term Abba that it is impossible to concisely describe in the English language. It is a term expressing warm affection and filial confidence. It has no perfect equivalent in our language. One dictionary describes the term this way: it expressed the peculiar tenderness, familiarity, and confidence of the love between parent and child. So we see that God's Spirit works within us to create between Father God and us the same natural bond of affection, trust, warmth, and closeness as exists with a small child and its parent. And long has that verse been used in that context. Abba, Father. And when I read that, every time I read that and try to enter into what that means, that we have been adopted as sons and daughters, children, I think of the estate that we were in before we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I speak for a moment to those who have, and if there's any here that have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would plead with you to consider him and his work upon the cross of Calvary. But for those of us who have already done that, we think of the time before when we were enemies of God, children of wrath and disobedience, and the darkness of our heart that's described in the Word of God, being desperately wicked, and that expanse between the perfection of God and our wickedness, And in our heart was the capability to do many terrible things. Whether or not we would have admitted it at the time. And being so far, so very far from God, he threw his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He closed that gap that we may come to him. When Adam first left him in the garden, and the world was filled with sin, that God brought man who was at enmity with him, he reconciled through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the things that there's so many things that he has brought us into and given us now. It's not just that we've been saved from hell, a terrible destruction for our sin and who we were. Yes, that's true, we have been. We weren't just left, though, to ourselves. God has brought us into his arms, his warm embrace. And he has given us the affection of being like family. He has given us the righteousness of his own son. He's justified us. And will one day glorify us. And we will be the trophy of heaven. God will change us. And we will spend eternity with him. What a glorious thought that is. That he, as it says here, hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have that right, and that again leads me to another point that I have, how he's always available to us. And so many times as parents, we find it hard to make time for children. I know from being a child, I mean, our daughter's only 3 months now, but being a child and knowing how hard it is for parents who are busy and trying to provide for a family to make time for kids. And yet God is always available to us. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. And what a marvel that is. Just on top of this that we've been learning, that we have the right as children to cry out to him, Daddy, and to come before his throne of grace. And he invites us there. He doesn't want it to just be an infrequent thing. He desires that quality time. And I can't help but think of the comparisons, not only being a father now, but as a child with my own parents, or many people use the example of friendship, fellowship with friends. Of how would your relationship with them stand up if you applied the same quality to that with your parents or your friends as you did to your relationship with God the Father? How much time do you spend with him, hearing from him and his word and talking to him through prayer? That's the time that we spend with him. How much time do you spend in his word and in prayer? I know when I look at my own life, I don't think if I applied that same standard to any of my friendships, my relationship with my wife, my own parents, my friends, I don't think those relationships would do too well. We need to be doing more. And God is eagerly waiting to hear from us. He loves us as his own children. And he wants that affectionate family time, you could say. And yet, for all our downfallings and our failures, he is continuously generous to us. We think of that verse in James chapter 1 and verse 17. You don't have to turn to it. I'm sure you could probably quote it. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift. And I was just thinking today in Matthew chapter 7 of that, the passage there, chapter 7 and verse 11. It says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? That he is so generous to us. It goes far beyond just, again, saving us from hell and and leaving us to flounder on our own. He does so much for us and has such an interest in us. And even further than that, it's amazing to think of how God is always building on his promises and the things that he does for us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, again, these are well-known passages, but we see there how God has our best interest in mind all the time. In verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." God is always working things for our good in our life, whatever they may be. And in thinking of this this subject, I couldn't help also but think of the counter theme to this, which would be, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And I couldn't go through this message without saying a word about that. The Scripture teaches us that we were not always children of God, and there's many in this world that would teach that everybody is a child of God. And we know that simply isn't true. And you don't have to take my word for it. We can look at a few passages in the Scripture that tell us that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, if you just want to turn there for a moment, just have a couple of verses left. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which is the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past." Notice there that word "all." We all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That is the nature of mankind, children of wrath, not children of God. When we enter into this world, we have the inheritance of our father Adam. Each and every child that enters into this world, there's lots of kind of funny stories that can go with that kind of serious theme. Even today in Sunday school, we were singing some of the songs, and I always try to teach the kids a little bit about the meaning of the songs that are there, and one of them is, "My heart was dark with sin until the Savior came in." And I asked the kids, "Who has a dark heart?" And a lot of the hands went up and said, "Not me, not me." But there was a couple that said, "I do, I do." But didn't realize that was incriminating. But the truth is that even the innocence of children, that their hearts are dark. We don't have to teach our children to do wrong. It's by nature. And in John, 1 John chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but there we read in verse 10 about the children of God and the children of the devil. There's two. And we're not all children of God. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38, it speaks in a parable of the children of the wicked one. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, it says, "Ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." We read in John chapter 3 of being born again. That's a spiritual birth, because we are separated from God spiritually. We are dead in our trespasses and our sins. We are not children of God by nature. We are children of the wicked one, children of wrath, without the Lord Jesus Christ. But we read in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that we can become the children of God. And if you want to look at, again, at 1 John chapter 5, we'll just look at this last verse in closing, if you'd like to turn there. A very clear passage speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 and verse 1, it tells us this, that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We become children of God by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And if we go down a little bit further, we look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So these things that I've been speaking of, about the greatness of God, how he loves us, those who have put their faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we get to enjoy all of these things about God, all of these characteristics. People that, Christians that are in this world that are hurting, that are going through trials and tribulations, they have a God who comforts them, a God who loves them. We have a God who is interested in us, has adopted us as his own, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He's always available to us, and he's interested in the very best for us. And he doesn't want to settle for anything less. And yet, all of these wonderful things that we can enjoy, and I hope that you're encouraged about this evening, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't get any of these things. You're left out. And God is pleading, even today, for people to come to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just close in prayer. Father in heaven, we come humbly before you. Father, I thank you for your love. Father, may we as Christians take time to behold what manner of love you have bestowed upon us. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Father, each and every parent that is here knows how to love their children. Every child that's here has experienced in some measure, great or small, the love of a parent. And Father, at the same time, we've also experienced failure in these areas. But Father, this evening, we just want to pause and thank you that we have never experienced failure from you. That you are perfect and holy in all things. And may we glorify and praise your Son for the work that he has done to bring us to this state. Father, we just lift his name on high as we ask these things in that most precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.